Hey, this is Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use. I'm Levi. With me are Lisa and Travis. You guys grew up in the 80s and 90s as I did, which seems really long ago, doesn't it? Like the 80s, 40 years ago.
It does not seem that long ago.
Yeah. It just seems like, well, when you look at the calendar.
Yeah, we don't need to do that.
Yeah, that's crazy, right? I remember, though, growing up and being a teenager in that time period, and there being a big push toward abstinence, big push toward kind of purity rings, purity cards. Do you guys remember these things?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
It wasn't even in church. It was at our school. And I remember this lady coming in, and she was talking about, really the biblical concept of sexuality being in the confines of marriage between a man and a woman, and that you wait into have biblical relations until that time. And she was kind of talking about like why. And she did this illustration with tape, and I'll never forget it because she took a piece of scotch tape and put it on her hand. And then she ripped it off, and then she put it back on, and then she ripped it off, and then she put it back on, and then she ripped it off, and she put it back on. And these symbolized just relations that were outside of that, that's saying, like, you shouldn't do this. And then she said, look at the tape. Every time that I stick it on my skin and then remove it, it shares a little bit of myself. And the same thing happens when we have relations outside of the confines of marriage in that way with multiple people. There's a sharing of this. And then she held up the tape and she said, you know, look at it. And it was all like DNA, skin particles, you know, type of a thing. And it was dirty, right? Like, and she said, you know, that there is... It became kind of tattered and it became kind of worn. And she said, you know, you don't want to bring this into your marriage. And she said, who would want this piece of tape? And I remember sitting there going, man, that's a really powerful. And I think what she was saying is true. The scriptures talk about this, keep the marriage bed pure. And there's reasons why. But I thought, well, who would want that piece of tape? It doesn't function the way it's supposed to, or didn't function the way it's supposed to anymore. And then I realized something as I thought about that. You know who wants that? Jesus. That's who Jesus came for. And if you look at the scriptures, Luke chapter 19, verse 10, if you people are going like, why did Jesus come here? Why did he leave his glory? Why did he leave, you know, all of the beauty of heaven? Why did he leave that? He left it for the tape. He left it for us. And it says there in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, it says, for the Son of Man, who is Jesus, came to seek and to save the lost. And Jesus' whole idea, his whole mindset was to come and to rescue us, to bring us out of that, to restore us back to what we were supposed to be. And to be able to help us to live in the way that we were designed to live, for the purpose that we were designed. There's this really crazy story in Mark chapter 5, and we're just going to read it, and then we'll kind of unpack it today. Lisa, do you want to read chapter 5, verses 1 through 20?
Sure. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes, and when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him any more, not even with a chain, for he had been bound with shackles and chains. But he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, what have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me. For he was saying to him, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And Jesus asked him, what's your name? And he replied, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now there's a great herd of pigs was feeding there on a hillside, and they begged him, saying, send us to the pigs, let us enter them. So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the sea. The herdsmen fled and told it in the city and in the country, and people came to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had had legion, sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region as he was getting to the boat. The man who had been possessed with the demons begged him that he might be with him. And he did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled.
Remember, this story is, it's kind of weird because the gospel writer, Mark, is, he's writing this and you're kind of like, what in the world is he talking about? Like, it seems misplaced, this story. It seems like just a neat story. Like, oh, this is a good one. I'll write this one down. But you have to remember where this story is coming out of. Jesus had just been on a boat with his disciples. Huge storm comes in. He's sleeping. He calms the storm with his words. He says, "Be still," and they're still. And there's this incredible, it's an incredible story, but there's a question at the end of this. Who is this man that even the wind and the waves obey him? And I think what Mark is doing in this passage is he's telling us, who is this man? You have to remember that he's going across, he's going to a foreign land. Jesus was Jewish, and this was a place where Jewish people didn't go. It was a foreign land. It was outside of the promised land. And he goes to this guy who is, I don't know if there's anybody more messed up in the scripture that I can think of. Like, this guy's, he's jacked up. He's like physically messed up. He's mentally messed up. You know, the dude's howling at the, you know, howling every day, shrieking is what the scriptures tell us. He's cutting himself. He's living in a tomb. So he's living in, like, if you live in a graveyard, that's weird. That's just weird. Let's be honest about that. That's just weird. And he's cutting himself. He's howling. And the townspeople know this about him, and they try to chain him up. Mark describes this, and they try to chain the guy up. But he's so strong, and so he breaks the chains. And so not only is he insane, not only is he physically marred, not only is he living in a graveyard, he is dangerous. And so, you know, if you're a townsperson, you're going, kids, stay away from him. And, you know, Travis, if you were there, you would have probably like, hey, dudes, let's go and let's go and sneak over.
Yeah.
And, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You and your buddies would have done that, right? But you see this in the text, like you see this guy, and I think what Mark is trying to show us is how broken this guy is. And he uses a very like clear way of describing this guy that all of us go, whoa, this guy is, you know, he's out of control. And then you see Jesus coming, he goes over. He sees this man. He completely heals this man. If you look at, read verse 15 again, Lisa.
And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had the legion, sitting there clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid.
So it tells us a couple of things there. The dude was probably naked. Number one, he was naked. And number two, all of a sudden, he's in his right mind. Like, Jesus had healed him. And you go, well, why is Mark telling us this story? Well, it's answering the question. The one who can calm the wind and the waves with his very words, the voice, who is this man that even the wind and the waves obey him? He's a man of ultimate power. And they realize that, but he doesn't use his ultimate power to oppress us. He uses his ultimate power to set us free. And I there's just some beauty in this story.
Yeah, and what I find interesting is that you go back to chapter 4 when Jesus calms the storm, and it said that they were terrified, and they're asking each other, who is this guy? And then now he casts out the demons, and this guy that's been just jacked up and scary, and I mean, it's like an ogre, like Shrek in the swamp, all chained up. And they're afraid again, and they ask Jesus to leave. Like, they understand he's got this supernatural authority and power over him, but they don't understand that it's for good.
Yeah, but this guy does.
Yeah.
Right? He's like, look, take me with you.
Yeah.
I want to go with you. Like, I've been living in the graveyard, but now I want to walk with you. And Jesus goes, no. You're not coming with me. You go and tell how gracious God has been to you, how merciful he's been to you. And the story helps us to see, remember, this guy, I don't know of anybody in Scripture that is messed up as this dude. And Jesus saves him. And so if Jesus can save him, there is nothing that he can't do to save us. There's nothing that we've done, nothing, nowhere that we've been, nothing that has been done to us that he can't rescue us from, that he can't use his power for. And I think that's part of what Mark is trying to help us to understand and help us to see, is that the good news of Jesus is that he uses his ultimate power for our good, to free us, not to enslave us, not to oppress us.
I was just thinking, if it is the case that Mark is answering the question who Jesus is in the story of this demon-possessed man and Jesus' power, it's interesting to me that in verse 9, Jesus asks the man what his name is, and in response, the demons say who they are. And I was just thinking about how sin takes over and what it does to us. I mean, I might not be as messed up as this dude, but I do think there are times when we identify so with the sin that we are in that it's really hard to imagine freedom. And I just think it's really powerful that Jesus says, who are you, speaking to the man, and the demons say, this is us. And part of Jesus' freedom, part of his rescue, is saying, no, this is not who you are. This is what I've made you to be. And it's completely different.
He has, like, legion means like 10,000. So there's like 10,000 demons in this dude. Like, that's a lot of demons. you know, I don't know how they have all that room in there. But this guy is messed up. And Jesus still saves him. He has mercy on him. And he's a foreigner. That's the other part that amazes me in this story. It's not one of his Jewish buds. It's not some religious leader that he's saving. It's this dude who's howling at the moon like a coyote, cutting himself, and totally insane. All the townspeople go, he's beyond saving. We don't even know what to do with him other than let him live in the graveyard. We tried to chain him. That doesn't work. We just got to stay away from him. And Jesus goes to him, and he has mercy on him. That amount of grace, I don't totally understand. Like, I don't totally get it. That the depth of his power to bring somebody back, the unbelievable grace of God, should move our hearts, though, right? Like, it should move me to go, whoa. But I think one of the things that happens for me anyway, and you might have just said it, like, I'm not as messed up as that guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not as messed up, but I don't know if that's true. I think we might be. If we read Ephesians 2, it says this, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin. That sounds a whole lot like living in a graveyard. I don't know. It sounds a whole lot like it to me. You're living in the graveyard. And then it goes on in verse 2, and it says, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Well, who's the ruler of the kingdom of the air? Who is the spirit of the sons and daughters of disobedience that we formerly walked with? It's Satan. Uh-oh. We've now said Ephesians now said we're in the graveyard. It says we were heavily, at least heavily influenced by demons or Satan, the demonic forces. And then it goes on and it says, all of us who lived among them at one time, all here, the word all is really interesting. It actually means we all lived in the graveyard, and the word live there means bound to. Isn't that fascinating? It, in the original language, it means bound to. So we were chained to the tomb. We were chained to this demonic forces that were within us, these chains. And it goes on and it says, all of us who lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following the desires and thoughts like the rest, we were by nature deserving God's wrath. And so Jesus could have came in and just, you know, smited him because he has had that ability. Let's just get him off the face of the earth, right? But he doesn't. He has mercy on this guy. Every single one of us, this was our condition before we met Jesus. And then it says, but God, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy. But just like the man in the story, he met someone. He met Jesus. But we met Jesus, and he made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. This is this story. This is crazy. This story is our story. We all have our clothes on right now, but we're not.
In case you were wondering.
Yeah, just in case you were wondering. But it's our story. This story is our story. Jesus came across. He came across the great divide. He came across this reality. He came from heaven. He cruised across the sea, came to earth for you and I. And that, for me, just goes, it makes my heart go, whoa, what kind of grace? I don't totally understand. Like, why? Like, why? Why would he do that? And yet he did it, and he did it for dirty pieces of tape like you and I. He did it for those ones who were unclean. Here's another thing in this passage. Prior to this, if you read in the Old Testament, you read Levitical law, the Jewish people had this saying, like, if you touch something that was unclean, so to go to a graveyard and to be even around this guy, you were ceremonially unclean at that point. And so to touch this guy, the unclean would touch the clean, and it would make the clean unclean. Just like, you know, a bounty napkin. If you, you know, the quicker picker upper. If you use that piece of paper towel, man napkin, it automatically becomes unclean. And in the same way, in the Levitical law, if something unclean touched the clean, the clean became unclean. This is the first time where you see the clean, who is Jesus, touching the unclean and making it clean. But God.
But God. Yeah, that's awesome. What I like in that story is, you know, this guy had all these issues going on, but Jesus enters the picture. And he doesn't just heal him, he redeems him. He gives him a plan and a purpose for his life. Like, that's the grace and the mercy of God that I think is so, so beautiful and so amazing and just so mind-blowing. Like, the guy didn't just go on back to his other life. Jesus is like, hey, go back to your people, tell them everything that's happened here, what I've done for you, and the mercy that I've shown to you. So he redeems the guy's demon possession. And he's like, hey, now I've got something for you. Like, you have this new identity in me. Here's my purpose for you. Go and share it. And I think that's super cool because, you know, I think back on, you know, my life of when I came to meet Jesus, like, things changed in my life. And I can just be kind of like, yeah, you know, that was cool. Like, lose that kind of excitement about it and kind of just the amazing amount of magnitude that God's worked in my life. And like, we should still be excited about that every day.
Yeah, he made the unclean clean, which is amazing. And I think that there's probably some listeners out there who go, man, I don't know. Like, you don't know where I've been, what I've done, what's been done to me. And I will tell you that we do. We do. This is why we know. Because us too. It's us too. We were the unclean tape. We were the unclean tape. And the same reason that guy is sitting there and he's now clothed and Jesus tells him to go and tell his friends is the same reason we do this radio program. It's the same reason that we come to church and we proclaim the good news of Jesus, because we knew that we were unclean and Jesus made us clean. Jesus did something in our lives. And the question of, you know, who wants the tattered, unsticky, filthy, used tape of our lives? Jesus does. And we're here to tell you that. That's the good news. That's the gospel in very simple form. Jesus wants you. And all of us who have said yes to him, that's what he did for us. And he found us in a foreign land and he made us clean. And that offer is for all of us. That offer is for every human breathing, that if we would believe in Jesus, he takes the unclean and he makes it clean. He takes the tape of our life, the filthy tape of our life, and he makes it clean. That's good news you can use.
Thanks for hanging out with us this week. If you guys have any questions or comments or you have topics that you'd like us to cover, we'd love to hear from you. You can email those in to travis@evangelup.org. If you'd like to follow up on any of our previous Pearls and Swine episodes on Good News You Can Use, you can search those on your preferred podcast platform. Just look for Evangel Houghton. Or you can always go to our website, evangelup.org.